The Conversations at Curlow Creek, written by David Maloof and read by Moylisa Stafford. The only light in the hut came from the doorway behind him. Streaming in off the moonstruck plain, it cast a shadow across the packed earth floor and at an angle up the slab wall opposite, but revealed nothing more in the stifling gloom than a stub of candle in the neck of a bottle and the rim of a wooden slop bucket. Adair's first thought was, there's no one here. He has escaped. The bird is flown. It surprised him after his two-day ride, and considering all that depended for him and what the man might have to tell, that he felt relieved. What is it in us? What is it in me, he thought, that we should be so divided against ourselves, wanting our life and at the same time afraid of it? He stepped in under the lintel. Behind him, it was the trooper now whose bulk filled the doorway and broke its light. Get out of the light, he told him. It's as dark as the tomb in here. But the trooper hung there and did not move. There was a strong smell on the place of some previous animal occupant, sheep or goat. That and the choking sense of confinement, as if he had stepped underground, must have confused his senses, or he would surely have been aware of the man's breathing. And of course, the moment he was, it was rackety, broken with phlegm. Or perhaps his chest was injured. He made the fellow out, an agglomeration of rags with its knees drawn up, in which he distinguished, as his eyes adjusted, hands clasped over the knees, bare feet drawn together, a brow gleaming with sweat, though nothing as yet of the features beneath. Let's have a light in here, he told the trooper. The head was raised at that. One eye was puffed and closed. The other blinked in puzzlement, and Adair was struck by its pulpiness and light. So alive. He was here right enough, still drawing breath. A hulk of flesh still pouring out fetid warmth. The smell he had mistaken for goat was the stink of sour flesh and dirt, with a reminder of what nature had contributed to the slop bucket. Adair eased the satchel off his back. Are you deaf? He demanded of the trooper, a lanky, slouching, thick-headed fellow in undershirt and unlaced boots, who continued to stand with his head dipped under the doorframe and one hand on the latch. I thought I asked you to fetch a light. At last, the fellow stirred himself. I'll see what I can dig up. No promises. The tone to Adair's fury, that mixture of grudging deference and surly independence that was typical, he thought, of the kind of riffraff that had been recruited out here. Disaffected veterans like this fellow, stubborn and indolent, with their own reasons for rethinking every order, who would do nothing till you lost your temper with them. Raw youths, farm boys and such, who could ride a little, handle a gun, and were full of spark and spunk, but had no notion of rank or discipline. But the better part of his irritation, he knew, was tiredness. He had been riding with little sleep and no chance to wash or change his clothes for 48 hours, and still had the dazzle of the plain in his head, an ache he could not throw off. Well then, he said wearily, do it, why don't you?